Well, thank you so much for allowing me to share some ideas with you this morning. And I really do believe that a sense of meaning and purpose in life is one of the most important things that we can do for ourselves to bring happiness and joy into our lives. If we look around in our community and in our culture and sometimes in our own lives, it seems there's a great lack of meaning and a lack of purpose, and we just kind of go scattered here and thither, and we're busy and busier and busier, and we don't know what to do. And this lack of meaning and purpose and lack of direction very often results in great stress and anxiety, depression, and even alcohol and drug abuse. So why is it important? Why do we seek this sense of meaning and purpose in our life? And those people that do have a sense of meaning, there are a lot of benefits from that. A lot of times it'll bring in financial rewards if you are consistent with working for a purpose. You're more efficient. And it can even bring in better physical health. But far more important than money or even health is the sense of accomplishment that brings us happiness and joy and fulfillment. When we have that, we're working, we're clear what our meaning is. Well, how do we begin to transform ourselves to bring this sense of meaning and joy into our lives? The only way, as far as I can see, that we can accomplish these goals is to recognize the truth of our existence. And I think probably all of us here in this room would agree that we have a physical body and we have a brain, and that we can use that capacity to think and reason. But the real truth of our existence, however, is that the essence of who we truly are is that we are all spiritual beings. And what does that mean? So our essence is that we are God. Now hold on just a minute. You say, well, I'm not quite God. I can't throw lightning bolts and make things change just like that. But we're not the entirety of God. But we all have within us a spark of the divine. And that spark that we have is the very same thing, the loving intelligence that guides the whole universe as well as our individual lives. So when we focus on this divine spirit and live our lives in harmony with this spiritual essence, then almost automatically and naturally we can begin to live lives that are consistent with that divine spark, and it gives us meaning and purpose. And when that meaning, when we're working consistently with that, we begin to experience happiness and joy in our lives. So how do we learn to connect with this divine loving spirit? Well, one way that Sunday mornings, a great many people learn how to connect with this divine spirit by their religion. And what is religion? Well, it's really an organized set of rites, rituals, and beliefs that allow people to discover the truth about the spiritual nature of the universe. Now, this group, if you have to be organized, I'm not so sure about. So, religion, whether it's Christianity, Hinduism, Islam, or Buddhism, can be a bridge to transport us from the physical world to that spiritual world. And we can connect with the divine, loving spirit. Now, one problem with religion is many people attend services and get involved, and they begin to think our way is the only way, and they exclude everybody else. That's all wrong. There's nothing except we're Baptist, if we're Methodist, if we're Muslims, our way is the right way and everybody else is wrong, and this is the only way we can connect with God. Well, one of my real heroes is Mahatma Gandhi, and he spoke to this dilemma in one of his writings. And he says, "I know that friends get confused when I say I'm a Hindu, and they fail to find in me things that they associate with a man usually labeled as such. But that is because, in spite of my being a staunch Hindu, I find room in my faith for Christianity and Islam and Zoroastrian teachings. And therefore, my Hinduism seems to some to be a conglomeration, and some have even dubbed me an eclectic." Well, to call a man eclectic is to say that he has no faith at all. But mine is a broad faith, which does not oppose Christian, not even Plymouth Brothers, not even the most fanatical Muslim. It is a faith based on the broadest possible toleration. I refuse to abuse a man for his fanatical deeds because I see them from his point of view. It is that broad faith that sustains me. My Hinduism is not sectarian. It includes all that I know to be the best in Islam, Christianity, Buddhism, Zoroastrianism. Truth is my religion. God is truth. God is love. So we, like Gandhi, need to be open to truths from all religions and from science and philosophy. So if that verse sort of sounds familiar, I don't know if we got our vision statement from Gandhi or Gandhi got his paragraph from us, but it's almost a duplication of that. And why don't we just read that, or let's say that's, does everybody have a copy of the vision statement? Maybe if you don't have one, share one with your neighbor, and let's just read that together. So, the spiritual light center is a peaceful and joyful fellowship of individuals centered in love, dedicated to the God within, and honoring the many paths to truth. So, and how true that is. And so that's what we need to recognize, that there are truths out there, that, but we have sometimes study and work and accept all these truths. Now, I was just talking with one of the members here that I've just got back from Nepal just a few weeks ago. And the one thing that really struck me, as soon as we got there, everybody seemed like they were friendly and nice. And they consistently, from the doorman at the hotel to waiters, all sorts of people, as soon as you walked up to them, they say, "Namaste." And it was, everybody replied, "Namaste." We must have said namaste 100 times a day. But it was so joyful. Does anybody know what namaste says?
The good it makes it
out.
The good it makes it, the good it makes.
Exactly. That my divine spark, my divine spirit honors and recognizes the divine spirit in you. And it was so much fun. We were with a group of about 15, 20 people, and we would take hikes into some of these remote villages. And it was so interesting seeing them and these little children that they may be 3 years old in their mother's lap or running around. And if you just start to say that, I said, "Namaste," and they say, and they get one of these great, big, beautiful smiles, and the children, "Namaste. Namaste," and it was everywhere, and it was so refreshing. And that's one way that we can begin to recognize and live with that divine spark ourselves. Now, it's sort of, I'm not sure if this is a problem or some spirit that's working. The random verse that you picked out about Thanksgiving was almost exactly what I was going to spend the next 10 minutes talking about. That another way to recognize that divine spirit within us is when we're grateful. And it's pretty easy for me, and I enjoy thinking about the things that I'm grateful for. My beautiful, wonderful wife back there, and she's going to kill me. She's smirking already. That I'm truly grateful for her, and I'm grateful for my family, my children, and my grandchildren. So when we begin to recognize what we are grateful for, we begin to connect to that divine spirit that brought this into our lives. But it's a little bit more challenging, but perhaps even more beneficial, when we can actually recognize and be grateful for the things that seem to cause pain or sickness or illness or death or car crashes or whatever it is. But truly, people that are maybe at a higher level than I am in their spiritual development. But for me, that's pretty hard to do when somebody's been sick or somebody's died. But most of the great leaders of spiritual ideas, and this little book kind of talks about that some, the Book of Joy, it's by the Dalai Lama and Desmond Tutu. And they recognize in their own lives, Desmond Tutu was in prison for about 20 years. And he said, and in very bad conditions and whatever, but that for him, he was able to give thanks and gratitude for that. And that kept his spark of the divine and that connection to the divine. Because while he was in prison, he was able to study and read and communicate with other people. And that was one of the best things that happened to him. But it sure didn't look like it the first day he hit that jail cell. And the same thing with the Dalai Lama. He was exiled from China with all of his followers, and now he's in Tibet. And that would, again, he looked at that. Most of us is, well, what an outrage, how terrible this is. But he looked at it as an opportunity that he could connect with more people and others. And so when we begin to give gratitude, sincere gratitude for these things that are initially appearing to be bad, it can really help our recognize that divine spark within us and connect to this divine loving intelligence that guides not only our lives, but the entire universe. So, how would y'all like to have a little fun for the next few minutes?
Sure.
Somebody want to help me pass these things out? One of these says, my special spiritual place, and then flip that over to start with. And we're talking about writing down five things that you're grateful for. I'm going to challenge you, and I want you to write down as many things as you can think that you are truly grateful for over the next minute or two. We'll have a little contest with each other and see who can get the most, write down the most things they're grateful for. See if I can start my watch. And then on the other side it says, my special spiritual place. And we'll be passing out some pencils and crayons and colored pencils. And after we finish writing down the gratitude things, I want you to draw a picture of this special spiritual place. Now, I'm not a very artistic person, so I'm going to level the field for all of us. If you're right-handed, I want you to draw this picture with your left hand. And if you're left-handed, draw it with your right hand. And so obviously, these pictures are probably not going to end up in the Louvre. But I think I think it'll give us an idea of how we can, again, connect with the spiritual. On one side of the paper, write as many things as you can that you're grateful for. And on the other side, draw a picture of a place that is special for you.
With the opposite hand.
With the opposite hand.
What'd she say?
Yes. She wanted to know if we have to close your eyes. That's really depending on that inner spiritual self. But we won't have you do that. Some place for you that is, you recognize that as a special spiritual place.
With your other hand.
With your left hand, if you're right-handed. Anything. It can be anything. It can be something from your childhood, something that you go to every day now, or anywhere in the whole world, any idea. Just a place that you feel is a special spiritual place for you. Okay, 15 more seconds to get your list completed. Okay, everybody done with your list? Time's up. How many have more than 20? Yeah. Okay, more than 25. Okay, 20. 20, how many do you have?
20 exactly.
How many do you have, Barbara? 35? How many do you have?
I have 24.
Anybody more than 35? See, you never know what good things are going to happen to you.
Oh, wow.
Okay, now draw your picture.
36.
Draw this place if this is your spiritual place. Okay, we'll get a few of you brave ones to share, but how many of you drew a picture of a church or a religious? 2, 3 people? How many had a picture of something with water in it? Okay, let's see, count one more time. Let's count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I've done this probably 200 times or 200 people over the years, and it's consistently water is just, there's something magical about water, a waterfall or a creek or whatever it is. And a lot of times there's no one that draws a picture of a church, I guess.
I figured out why we all like water so much. Frequencies.
It's what?
Frequencies.
The rhythm?
The frequencies of the water itself are conducive to the frequencies of our metabolism.
Yes, that's that.
Molecular frequency.
Yes. Well, at any rate, does anybody want to share their picture? Oh, wow. Now, you didn't do that with your... You must be ambidextrous.
No, I'm not.
Good. You want to tell us about it?
Sure. It's my house, and it's got smoke coming out, the fireplace going, and my husband and kitty cat and... our burn pit and the streams going through on both sides of the house.
Oh, wow. Can I come over this afternoon? It sounds wonderful.
And trees that are still have, which surprised me when we got back, still have lots of leaves on it. And our smoke pit.
Oh, great.
Burn pit.
Fantastic. Does that make you feel good, just thinking about that place?
Oh, yeah. Especially, yeah.
Do you think all some? You think the divine spirit had something to do with that place?
With taking us there? You mean with settling there?
With that being formed, with that being what it is.
I don't know why we wound up there, but I'm glad we did.
Okay. You want to show?
I have a
sweat lodge, of course.
Okay.
A druid altar. And then I drew a picture of the place that I went to when I had my near-death experience. And then I drew a picture of my heart with stars on it.
Wonderful. Anyone else want to share?
I drew the mountains and a forest with birds and flowers and the sun.
Great.
I'm sure it is, but that's what it's supposed to be.
That's great. Want to tell us about yours or show it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, good. You're in the right place.
The five things I'm grateful for is the first one is you.
Oh, you're in big trouble if that's the only thing you're grateful for.
And when you ask for the spiritual place and everything, my tree and everything, and this could serve as either my cat or the squirrel that I have outside and everything. And then this serves as the river and the rocks with the river and all that kind of stuff.
Great, wonderful. Van Gogh would be proud of you people. Okay, so one more way that we can connect our spark of the divine, that little tiny spark, sometimes it seems small, sometimes it's big, with the universal divine loving spirit, is to use meditation, where we quieten our body, quieten our mind, and just connect with that. Did any of you meditate regularly? Well, that's about four times more than most other groups. So what I want to do is just, I used to run a cardiac rehab program, and most of, probably 98% of the people that would come had no idea what meditation was about or how to do it or whatever. So we routinely would go through a process that we call progressive muscle relaxation, where we would, and you don't have to be on any special place, we would have them tighten the muscles in their body, curl your toes and go all the way up, and then relax those muscles. And then once we're relaxed, we would do a visualization type thing where we might go to one of your spiritual places, or more likely, you're going to go to my spiritual place if I'm leading it. So why don't we just take a few minutes and see if we can do this. So just sit back and get comfortable. You may want to put the stuff on your lap down. And just close your eyes. Take a deep breath in. And let all the air back out. And then raise your right leg just 2 or 3 inches off the floor. And try to curl your toes. And tighten all the muscles in your feet. And then tighten the muscles in your calves. And then tighten the muscles in your thighs. Tighter, tighter, tight as you can. And just bring that right foot back down. And then raise the left foot just 2 or 3 inches and curl your toes, tighten your calves, tighten your thigh and hip muscles, tight as you can, and just relax and bring your foot back down. And take another deep breath in. Let all the air back out. And then raise your right arm just a little bit and make a tight fist. Tighten the muscles in your forearms, and then in your biceps, and then in your shoulders. Tighter, tighter, tight as you can. And then relax and release. And on your left arm, make a tight fist. Tighten your forearm, your upper arm. Shoulders tighter, tighter, and then relax and release. And then try to tighten your facial muscles. So wrinkle your forehead up. Try to touch your nose to your chin. Tighten all your cheek muscles. Tighten all those muscles and then relax and release. And just take another deep breath in and let all the air back out. And as we're beginning to relax, let's imagine that we're going on a walk today. And those of you that may have arthritis or other physical problems, just imagine this is 20 or 30 or 40 years ago and you're able to walk with us and you're perfectly healthy because we're just doing this walk in our mind. So it's a beautiful fall day. The leaves are still on the trees, but they've begun to turn and they're beautiful reds and oranges and yellows and still a few green leaves on the trees. And we begin our walk across a nice green pasture, and there's a trail going across this field. And soon we come to a beautiful creek. And you can hear the vibrations of the creek, the water babbling over the rocks. And we just very slowly, taking our time, walking up this trail that follows the creek as it curves right and then left and back right. We can see that water like little waterfalls flowing over the rocks. And we're gradually going uphill. We keep going, and the further we go, the more relaxed we become. And soon we come out to the top of the small mountain we've been climbing, and there's a great, big, huge boulder. And we see that, and we decide, well, we can climb up. There's some almost like steps going up to the top of that boulder. And we climb up to the top, and we look out over the beautiful blue sky and the valley down below and all the trees that are still around us. And we begin to feel like we're part of that whole beautiful scene. And soon a big fluffy cloud just floats right over to our boulder. And by magic, we're able to step out onto that cloud and just lay back. And it feels so soft and fluffy. And we just float along. And our body now is completely relaxed. And our mind is relaxed. And we can begin to feel that spirit that's within us connecting with the spirit that guides everything we have seen and experienced. And we feel so calm, so happy, so joyous. And soon the cloud floats back and we're able to step off the cloud and back onto the boulder. And we begin to walk back down the trail so slowly and peacefully. And it is such a wonderful feeling, just letting go of our physical self, connecting with that divine spark that is within each and every one of us. And soon we come back to the field. And when we get to the field, we look out, and all the people that we love and have ever loved are in that field. And each and every one of them, we feel a sense of connection. And we realize that we all have that spirit, that spark within each and every one of us. And we're so grateful for the lives that we have and all our friends and family. So just take a minute to enjoy this wonderful feeling, this feeling of thanksgiving for everything that we have. And take another deep breath in. And you're beginning to awaken. You can open your eyes, and when you open your eyes, you're feeling better than you felt in a very long time, full of energy and life and love. And open your eyes and just say namaste to the person next to you. Namaste, namaste, namaste. And I'm out of things to say. So
thank you. Thank you.